Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. God is such a wonderful, great, awesome God. He really is. Amen. I know that because God has been good to me. Amen. I hope you know that too. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read my scripture in just a moment. But before we do, let me go ahead and thank you, musicians. And you may be seated for just a moment. I want to recognize that. Dads are, I tell you what, it was God's plan to give families dads. Yes. Amen. That was God's plan all along. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads out there. God is a good God. Amen. My intention today is to talk to us dads. I include myself in that number, which I'm so blessed to be a part of. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Darren had a testimony of a man that was healed. 13,500 volts seems, I'm not an electrician, but that seems really high. Wow. It's amazing that man is still alive, and yet he's doing well. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's other fathers, I'm sure, here today that have a blessing, that have been blessed, that, in fact, I testified out there in the tent the other day, over the weekend, and getting ready for the tent meeting. I hurt my leg. I did something. I hurt my calf. I was pushing something heavy into the back of my van, and it slipped, and I tried to catch it and push hard, you know, against it while I was pushing it in. It was heavy. And in my calf, at the top of my calf, it's like a piece of my muscle moved from the middle of my leg over to the side of my leg. So then there's a soft spot where there used to be a muscle, and then on the side there's a big lump and hard spot where, you know, it wasn't there a little while ago. So I did something bad. In fact, right when it happened, I told my wife, I just hurt myself. Isn't it? But you know what? I did wobble around for a little few days. But God is good. You know, I've had people tell me, well, muscle tears and tendon tears take weeks and months. Weeks and months. Well, I don't want to be crippled for weeks and months. So I got prayed for on Sunday, and day by day, every single day, my leg felt better. Amen. And it's still, if I bend down real hard and squeeze my calf, it's still a little tender, but I can walk around pretty good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know what? I still think it's a miracle when God gives you a speedy... Amen. Man, I can do it. You know, God is good. You know, it's a speedy recovery. Amen. How about that? I'll take that. Amen. It's a speedy recovery. I recovered much quicker than what a doctor would have. And I didn't go to the doctor. I'm thinking, well, what's the doctor going to do for me? I did that before. I had a tear in my fascia tendon. I went to the doctor. Oh, you got to go see a specialist. We got to get an x-ray. Oh, you need to go get an MRI. Oh, we need to go see the specialist again. Oh, we got... You know what the specialist told me after spending thousands of dollars? Stay off your feet. And what you did when you tore it is what I would have done with a scalpel in a surgery room. You know... They said the same thing happened, and then and after the surgery, which you took care of yourself, you just have to heal. Thank you very much for the. So this time, God is going to take care of me. Amen. I'm not doing that again. God is going to heal me, and God gave me a speedy recovery. I'm good. With God doing great stuff. And to me, that's great stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know there's at least our eldest dad, amen, has got a testimony too.
Good morning to my dear friend and family, and to God, His gracious name, His mercy and His love. I'm here this morning not because of my own, but because of His presence and His glory. I've not been doing too well in my health-wise, but thank God I'm still here. Okay. Last week, I had to go to Maryland to bury my aunt, which was 92 years old. She passed away. Came back. This week, I got two good news from my doctors. Wednesday, I went to my sleep doctor. He said, something good has happened to you. You used to stop breathing 14 times in an hour. Now you're down to one. Praise the Lord. Right. So that was Wednesday. Friday, I went to cardiology for my regular checkup. And he said, you know something? From what we see on the screen, nothing. You are cancer free. Yeah. So, you know, I am cancer. So, like I said, it's no goodness of mine, but it's because of the grace of God I'm here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, being Father's Day, I want to give a preference and a privilege to dads. Is there another dad that would like to testify? Anybody? Give me 3 seconds. One, two, two and a half, two and three quarters, three. God bless you. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. Okay, the scripture, if you would stand with me, I've got two short readings that I'd like to bring to your attention. First is Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 6 through 9, and then I'm going to Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Praise the Lord. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And also from Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Wow. A whole bunch of people in this world don't like that part of Scripture. Amen. Sometimes, in fact, most of the time, the kid that's getting the spanking don't like that Scripture. But it's still Scripture. It's still in the Word of God. Amen. This is a very special Father's Day message. I'm going to speak to me and to every other dad in this house and to every other person that will hear the Word of the Lord. My topic is this: leader, provider, protector. I'm talking about dads. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now, Lord, your special blessing, Lord, upon the dads in the house. I pray your blessing, Lord, upon my ability to say words that, Lord, this people would hear, and that, Lord, it would touch our hearts. And as we look into Scripture and we see what it says, I pray that the Word, Lord, would strengthen us. Lord, that it would change us, God, that it would help us, Lord, to understand and to do your will. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Often, the troubled parent receives little true help. Maybe they get sympathy, but they have a hard time finding real answers to the problem. Some view the lack of preparation for parenthood on our education system. Well, they should have a They should improve their curriculum to help people understand about parenting. They say the education system is failing. Some would assign the dilemma, well, it's that parent's fault. You know, they're pointing the finger at the person who has the problem. That's your own fault. Well, that's not very helpful. Sometimes others would refer the problem because it's what's going on in the homes. People would point fingers anywhere except at themselves. It would be a terrible thing if humanistic views were the only teaching about parenthood that a person would get. That would be terrible. That would be awful. In fact, our kids right now, in our own public schools, in our own college system, the education process overall, from small to big, all the way along that line, is teaching very much humanistic views of everything. In fact, the worldly mindset of our current day would remove every trace of Christian doctrine, if they could, in just one generation. They'd teach everybody that there is no God. Not on my watch. Not at my house. Not in my world. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, lack of understanding is very often passed down from one generation to the next, generation to generation. An example would be children whose parents screamed at them when they wanted to communicate. They yelled at them. Or perhaps they even abused them or neglected them, and they... You see, those children tend to deal with their children of the next generation in the same way. Or they go the extreme opposite, to the point that it is unreasonable. You see, we do have an instruction book. We do have a parental guide. Amen. We do have the ability to find the place with the answers. Biblical principles of parental responsibility, they are still the best method. Amen. However, directly contradictory to the present day concepts that our world would say differently. There are many things in the world that I do not agree with. Amen. I do want my life to agree with the Bible. I want to do everything in my power to understand, to comprehend, to live my life just as close as a walk with God as I can. Amen. See, only as you grow in Jesus Christ, as you experience faith in God's Word, and through the obedience to that Word, will your situations improve. Amen. If you will choose to live for God, It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background, your nationality, your income. It doesn't matter where you're from, what neighborhood you're in. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're educated, if you're not. It doesn't matter. Every single life that abides by the Word of God will be increased, will be blessed. Hallelujah. You see, God's word and the pattern that God sets in the word for parenthood is really the only reasonable answer. Someone say reasonable. It is reasonable to obey the word of God. Amen. When you really think of some of the concepts of our current society, it is just so far perverted or so far modified or so far distant from the Word of God. It is so contrary to human nature that it becomes unreasonable. Praise the Lord. I could go on right there and preach the rest of the hour, but I'm not. Our world's thinking is so very often unreasonable. Let me talk about the role of parents, dads in particular. You see, parents, dads need a proper self-image. Children need the strength and the stability, the steadfastness of a mature Christian parent. Amen. Somebody who believes enough in God that they live that way. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believed. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Amen. I know that God has called me out of the pit of sin that I was in. God wants me to not live that way anymore. He wants me to live for him as he shows us in his word. Not because the pastor says so. Not because my uncle said so. Not because my dad said so. Or my mom. You see, I got to choose this path for myself. And when I choose the path of living for God, when I choose to serve the Lord, it touches everything in my life. Amen. It touches my work and my marriage and my children. It blesses my home and my friends and my family. Everything is better because I serve the Lord. Amen. I've said it so many times over and over and over again. You know, I can see that those friends that I used to hang out with a long time ago that lived in sin, and it didn't work out so well for them, I'm telling you. I can see, even in my own family, the people that live for God and the people that don't. And it doesn't work out very well for those that don't live for God. But it always does. It is better for the person that does live for God. Amen. Do I think it's a coincidence? Absolutely not. I think you can choose to live a righteous path and be blessed. Amen. Or you can choose to not live for God and go your own way and hope for the best. Amen. Praise the Lord. Children at every level, young, smaller, medium, large. Every level, they're in development. And they need friends. Parents, get this now, this may, I want to be careful in this, but I have to say it. Parents are not buddies. I need to be a dad. Amen. I need to be a father to my children. Amen. And I have four kids, so I'm speaking from a place of experience. I've had my own children that I had to raise up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I had to show them what living for God looked like in the church house, in the my own home, in the community. Amen. You see, the warmth and the friendliness between parent and child, it provides the availability for a closeness, a communion, if you will. But the parent who abdicates his role as leader, provider, protector, and guide, when he gives that portion up in an effort to be a buddy, those children will soon find that he is neither a buddy or a parent. He's neither one. God ordained that parents are to train up a child. That's the Bible. We're going to read that. Proverbs 22, verse number 6. Train up a child. I'm not just making this up. It's in the instruction manual. Amen. It's right here in the Word of God. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. I got Bible for what I'm saying. Amen. Parents must be themselves, or parents have to see themselves as God sees them. And portray that image to their children to reinforce their training efforts. Kids need to see their parents living right. I don't know if anybody else, if you have church every night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you have a busy weekend, if it does anything to your throat. Excuse me. I did a little bit of hollering this week. I don't feel sick. I just got a scratchy throat. Parents, I hope you can see yourself as God sees you. Amen. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Sometimes it almost seems as if there's a picture in my mind of people in our society going down the path and just, it's like a herd being driven in a certain direction. I don't want to follow the crowd. I don't want to be in the herd. I don't want to have something placed in my mouth to pull me along. I want to live for God. I want to read the Bible. I want to know His Word. I want His Word to affect my life. I want to do that which pleases God. And when I do that, God blesses my life. You see, attitudes of parents are communicated to children. A parent who doubts his role or his ability to fulfill that biblical role. That parent is going to communicate this fact to that child. Facing the role of and responsibility, it is a prerequisite to training up a child. You got to realize your place and your appointment. You got to realize what God wanted you to be. And you got to understand how that God is going to bless you when you serve Him. Amen. It's not a maybe or a might or sometimes, or you win the lottery and get blessed with good kids. No, that's not how it works. This is what you win. This is how you live. This is what God will promise. When you live by His Word is established in your life. Amen. Oh, you're so lucky to have good children. Blessed. My kids were blessed because they had a dad that chose to serve God. Amen. My children are blessed because we follow the Word. There's a reason why parents have good kids. It's because they're good parents. And there's a reason why that they're good parents. Because they follow the instruction book and God blesses them. I'm not a rocket scientist, but I can tell you from experience, it works. I can tell you from personal experience, it works. Amen. In the Old Testament, there was a family pattern. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 9. Again, I know I read that in the beginning, but I want to emphasize it. And I want to say something about that right now. I'm trying to get my whistle to cooperate with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse number 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. I hope the sanctuary or the Sunday school classroom in the church house is not the only place that your children hear about God. Amen. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That really means all the time. It means everywhere, all places, everybody. It's inclusive of our lives. Amen. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. This portion of Scripture is very special. You see, here God is instructing Abraham on how to preserve his family by teaching Bible commandments to your own family. You see, the greatest responsibility to raise your kids is not on the pastor. It's not on the children's church teacher or the nursery class attendant teacher. No, they play a part. They have a role. They do the best they can. But it's the parents that are commanded by the instruction book, by the Bible, to train up children. God's telling Abraham how to do it. He's telling him where to do it, when to do it. He's telling them what to do. Teach them my word. This is not written in my notes, but a good friend of mine, a missionary to Israel, Brother Matt Yater, gave me this pouch. This pouch is from World War II. It was issued as part of to the Israeli soldiers in World War II. So it's very old. It's older, hard to say, older than I am. Amen. But in this pouch that was given to Israeli soldiers in World War II, general issue, all soldiers received this pouch. In this pouch was this little box that had Hebrew scriptures written on it. It had the Word of God, commandments written in Hebrew on this little block. Amen. And it had different Hebrew verses written on that block. And what they would do is they would take that block and they would use the leather strap that was attached to it, and they would tie it on the back of their hand with the leather strap. And so at any time that they were in a, if you're in a foxhole, you could just raise up your hand and look at, and you could read the scripture. You could remind yourself that God is on my side, that I'm here because God will protect me. God will help me. God is on my side. They would strap it to their hands and they would put it between their eyes and they would be as frontlets. They would read the scripture, and when they were in their hard spot, the word of God is precious and powerful. Amen. There was one for each hand. They would left or right. They could read scripture both sides. Amen. Get this. Every Israeli soldier that got this pouch in World War II, they were given a shawl. They called it a prayer shawl. And they would take this thing and they'd put it around their shoulders and they would pray and they would seek God's favor in His face. And you can't really see it, but there's Hebrew writing of scriptures on the shawl, and it's embedded, embroidered in inside of the fabric. And they would put that on and they would pray and seek God's face. And you know, God did miracles in their lives. And even more than that, every single soldier was given a Bible. This particular one is written in Hebrew, so I can't read it too good. But could you imagine? You know, God blessed. You know, it seemed like a whole big piece of the world came against the Jews in World War II. They went through a terrible time with a capital T. But you know what? God was still there to protect them. Amen. God preserved them. Amen. They were never defeated. It was attempted to stamp them out and crush the entirety of the nation, make them not to be a people ever again. That did not happen because God preserved them. The word, the prayer, the scriptures. It's special. Amen. You know, it's still special. Amen. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 to 5, it says this. Would you bring me that box of tissues right there, please? I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Not only, Dad, it's so important that you choose to serve God, because your choice is going to affect your children. Your choice will affect your heritage. Fathers are to teach their children Bible principles and eliminate, to the very best of their ability, the contamination, I'll call it, wherever and whenever possible from the world. Now, I know you cannot isolate your child from everything in the world. That's just simply impossible. We can't live like that. But you can teach your children what is right. You can teach your children who is God. You can be blessed by the Lord and have God on your side. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, I'm just continuing a reading there. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall be brought unto thee, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sweareth unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildedest. Now, that's a hard word to say. Build. It's got an E-D. Buildedest. Built. That you didn't build. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where am I at? 11. And houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, when everything is good, when you've been blessed, when everything is that you need has been supplied, when everything is going good. Verse number 12. Then, when you're blessed, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. When your life is blessed, praise the Lord for blessings. Thank God for being blessed. Don't forget God. Oh, I don't need anything from God. Ooh, you're wrong. You do need something from God. Amen. Then, when you're blessed, beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Do you realize they were slaves for 400 years? And God brought them all out at the same time? God delivered the whole nation in one day? It was spectacular. It was a miracle. It was the deliverance at the hand of God. You know, we need to have a reliance on God. Parents must acknowledge their need, yes, of God, and yes, for the church. And the church has a role in parenthood. If parents find themselves in conflict with the church, consider the ultimate result of such a situation on their children. The true role of parenthood involves reliance upon God. Amen. To be a good parent You need to be dependent on God. Amen. If you think you can do it on your own and do it your own way. Somebody had a popular song, I'll do it my way. Don't sing that song. That's not too good. In fact, that's really bad. You got to do it God's way. Amen. Praise the Lord. The true role of parenthood involves reliance upon God. Amen. The church is the body of Christ. Parents cannot assume the role of spiritual guide and live contrary to the teaching of the Bible. You see, their children are going to observe. They're going to see the differences. If you live one way when you go to the church house and you live a different way when you go home, your kids are going to see it. Your kids are going to live it. It's going to be a part of their life. It will be ingrained in them. Oh, it's okay to live both ways. No, it ain't. No, it's not. In fact, it's going to bring you down. And that kind of life will bring them down. It'll hurt your children. If children observe the differences between their home life and adherence to the teachings and the practices of the church and the Bible, when that is in conflict, the role of parenthood is defeated. Kids aren't going to believe the church, and the kids aren't going to believe the parents. It's bad both ways. There's no winner in that situation. It's bad on the parent. It's bad on the junior. It's bad on the church. It's bad on the community. Everything falls apart when we don't follow the instructions. Yes. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know what goes on in our house. You know what? I don't need to know what goes on in everybody's house. It's up to each individual parent, every person, to find the instructions in the Bible and live that way. Amen. You may win the controversy, but lose your children. Our dearest relationships in life are in our family. They're in our closest loved ones. Our children, our spouses, our close relationships with friends in the church. Our walk with God is at the heart of those relationships. With faith in His Word and a reliance on the body of Christ, the church, we together can train up our children to live a godly lifestyle. Amen. Proverbs 22, verse 6, again. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's Bible. It's basic instructions for the family. This is our primary role as parents. The father's responsibility to his family. Let me touch on that for just a little while. It's the title of my message. A leader. The father is the leader of the family. Amen. Some men don't want to wear that responsibility. But it is nonetheless a responsibility that is placed by God on the man in that family. That father has a place appointed to him by God as a family leader. He has the God-given responsibility to lead that family. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Colossians 3, verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You see, as a leader in your family, your role is to guide that family in every area of life. He leads them in an ordered home lifestyle. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It is well pleasing to God when we serve him. That dad is to lead them in spiritual exercises, in prayer, in Bible study, in church attendance. When my kids were small, they were in church. Every one of my kids were in church within the first 1 week of their life. And I would say almost every week since. Amen. It just becomes a part. It wasn't a question, or are we going to go to church today, Dad? You don't even need to ask that question, because we're going. Oh, we're going on vacation. Well, it's church time, and we're going to church. Now, it might not. I go to Wisconsin for vacation. That's where my family's from. And we'll visit the Apostolic United Pentecostal Church right there, and that's in that area. Even though if I'm not in this church, when it's church time, I'm going to be in church. Amen. I want to be in church. It's not because I have to. It's just a part of me. It's in me. It's who I am. It's like a automatic. I want to be in church. I want to praise the Lord. I desire to feel His presence. I'm not tired of it. I don't get tired of living for God. I'm not tired of being blessed. And I realize where my blessings come from. Because God has blessed me. Praise the Lord. Leads them. Kids need to see Dad pray. Kids need to see Dad worship the Lord. They need to see Dad in the house of God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's good Bible right there. He leads them in honest endeavors by setting a true Christian example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. You don't have to be in this all by yourself. It wasn't intended that you would find your own way. Amen. It's not to be that you just live any way you want and live any way that you want. We follow the Lord. You see, we have Bible telling us to control ourselves. And yes, we can insist that this will be the rule in our family. Amen. Well, you can't make your kids go to church. Yes, I can. My kids are coming with me to church. Amen. A father is commanded not to anger or exasperate, if you will, his children. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Amen. Do not abuse your children physically. Do not abuse them psychologically. If you don't listen to them, it harms them. They get discouraged. Don't neglect them. It's discouraging. When you don't try to understand the child, they get discouraged. Don't expect too much from them. Don't force them to accept adult goals and ideas when they're yet a child. Don't expect your kids to pass a performance test. Every kid is different, and every kid needs your love. All of your children need your help. And yes, when you make a mistake, Dad, I hope you admit it to your own kids. Tommy, well, they call him Thomas now. Tommy, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Sometimes you got to apologize. The dad is a leader. The dad is to be a provider. The father is charged with the responsibility of providing the temporal and material needs of life. We have Bible that tells us it's your responsibility. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those in his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Whole bunch of people in our world that are not going to like that. But you know what? I'm not trying to please everybody in the world. I'm trying to get people to live for God, to understand the instruction book, to know what it says in the Bible. You see, the dad should express confidence in God. God is going to see us through. God is going to help us. Even when they can see there's a need in the household, there's a need in the family, when there is an expression of faith that God will help us. He will. He does. Hundreds, probably I'm underestimating, thousands of times God has come through in my family. God has helped us over and over and over again. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The security of a family depends upon the father's both attitude and aptitude, his ability. They're both involved. If he displays an inner faith in God's provision, his family will also. Attitudes of despair, of despondency over economic conditions, if they see it in the dad, it will create a fearful and faithless family. Even if the home is endowed with materialistic possessions, just because you have stuff doesn't mean it's right. Don't depend on stuff. Even brand new cars eventually get rusty in Connecticut. And then they're going to die. don't depend on stuff. Depend on God. You see, if that dad displays an inner faith in God's provision, his family will have faith as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Amen. I remember those times living in the apartment building in the low rent Section 8 place, and I couldn't afford more. But I'm telling you, it was some of the very best memories in the entirety of my life, showing my children that God is going to see us through. God is going to help us. Amen. And then seeing their face light up when God does a miracle. Amen. He's the leader. He's the provider. He's the protector. Musicians, come. I'm closing with this. Here's another statement in closing. He's to be the protector. You see, the father, as a protector of the family, or he is to protect the family against anything harmful. That includes relationships. And yes, he provides them with beneficial relationships. He leads them in a faithful church attendance. He shows his family how to pray, how profitable Bible study is. And by this, he protects them from developing habits that exclude God. Dad, if you put God out of your life, it will affect your family. But when you put God in your life, it will be a blessing to your family. Stand with me. It is a father's responsibility as leader, provider, and protector. It's in the basic instructions book in the Bible. I'd like to ask our dads. I've got a special gift for you. And I'll show you what it is, in fact. It's in a little gift box that says Father of Faith. It's just a multi-purpose screwdriver, and the handle has 8 different bits in it. Kind of gives you extra turns. It's got a set on it. It's a neat little tool. So before you leave, Dad, we're going to give you that little token gift. But more than a little token gift, I want God to bless your life. I'd like to ask our dads to come on up around the altar and then have their families or other church members and church family to come in behind them. And we're going to close this service praying for our dads.